Moncrief on News Talk.
In a recent interview, the actor Chris Pratt said that he's noticed a big difference between raising his son and his daughters. Well before nurture can make much of an effect on our children, seems like nature has got there already. The journalist Jen Hogan has toiled at the front lines of this for many years. Afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. You're mostly, in your house, it's mostly boys, is it?
It is, yes. I have one daughter and six sons, so completely outnumbered.
Your house is trashed.
Absolutely, yes. And also, I need to get one of those signs with the front door that says, please excuse us, not we're making memories, I have boys. You know, that should be enough. Yeah. Justify what you expect when you come in the front door.
And even, like, Jen, did you notice a difference between your daughter and your sons? Like, say when they were even two or three, that kind of an age.
Yes, I did. I mean, I know it's that thing we're not supposed to say. We're supposed to say, oh, no, there's no difference. It's the different personalities. And, like, that is also true. Even amongst my six lads, they're as different to each other as can be. But there was still a difference, and there still is to this day a difference between rearing daughters and rearing sons. It wasn't quite as obvious to my eldest son. I think that's because he was heavily influenced by having a sister. You know, she was the closest in age to him. Obviously, he didn't have any younger siblings at that stage. And he idolised her, and she took on kind of mother hen, as little toddlers tend to do when they have a little baby to play with. And so there was kind of an overlap in the early days where he was all into Peppa Pig and Dora the Explorer that she was all into. And he will love me as a teenager, me saying all this now on the air. So he was into all that kind of stuff and was a very kind of a gentle boy, quite like her. I describe her as gentle, but was into kind of a lot of the same things that she was into. And then the rest of them came along. And the testosterone and the boys, we became a boys' house, and we really noticed that. I really noticed that difference. Like, for most of my life, I spent kind of walking around and picking young fellas off each other, going, get off your brother, get off that, don't take him. And it's just that general kind of chaos that goes with boys. They don't seem to be able to kind of walk by each other without kind of giving each other a shove, you know, or find one with the other in a headlock. And that's just general affection. Like, that's just not even fight. That's just how they seem to interact, or at least in my house. I'm hoping that's true in other houses too, and it's not just that mine are feral.
And also that, like, especially when they're young, even when they're like that two or three age, certainly my experience is that boys are kind of, yes, swing them around the place and, you know, they bounce off the walls and they're delighted with themselves. But with girls, they're already in a chess match with you and you know you're losing it.
Absolutely. I mean, the girls would run rings around you. And I realise that this is a great sweeping generalisation. It's still true, though. But the girls would run rings around you, and the boys, you can kind of get around them an awful lot more easy. They just like that, like, they like the real physical play, and they like that real, as you say, they're swinging them around and that really kind of rough play and the tough play, and they're just being part of the chaos and the excitement. Whereas I always found my daughter was always one step of us all the way, and from that very young age, always striving for independence. You know, the boys kind of learned helplessness kicks in from a pretty young age, that kind of goes straight through to adulthood. You know, we see it then in our men folk, and we have that kind of thing. And perhaps that's down to us Irish mammies again, not maybe calling them, holding them to account in the same way that we probably should, because of that learned helplessness that we see at such a young age, and that ability to charm their mothers in particular, I think, whereas the dads see through them maybe a little bit more, because they've played it that way. In the same way, the mums are watching their daughters and going, yeah, I tried that as well when I was younger. I knew how to wrap my parents around my little finger. So there are definitely certain things that you see. I mean, probably the biggest and most obvious difference is the boys' absolute inability to pee in the toilet. I mean, even though they are blessed with something to aim with, they still never manage to get it in the toilet. And that's just something that was a shock. That was really shocking to me, because I came from a house of all girls, so like I never anticipated needing waders to parent, but this is where we are now.
Yeah, I tend to suspect that's just because they're in a hurry. It's just in the general direction. At least they went into the toilet rather than trying it from the hallway, you know.
Well, I can tell you, we've tried it. There were times when they were younger where I've looked out the back window and thought somebody couldn't even be bothered to, in the vicinity of a trampoline do as well, you know. So it can't even, I suppose we have to be grateful for small mercies.
Yeah, no, but when you witness, though, like in all parents, we all kind of have great ambitions, they're all going to be playing the violin and speaking seven languages and all the rest of it, that does it kind of tell you that actually you mightn't have as much control over the formation of your children as you might like to think?
I think societal expectations of the two sexes are very, very rigid still. I think that probably plays more of a role. I know, and you definitely see, I mean, there's nothing, my boys don't think there's anything their sister can't do that they can do. And I see that in them. And the young ones are often laughing with one of them, we're always calling a real feminist. He's very much into equality and wouldn't even tolerate even a banter or any kind of a joke, any kind of comment which suggests otherwise. So they don't have that kind of definite gender role or where they would go or that definite idea around it. But as you progress and as you're raising boys and girls, what you see is this brilliant message that we're sending to girls. We're telling them you can be anything that you want to be. You know, we're encouraging them to get involved in STEM. We're encouraging them to think of other careers outside the traditional female careers, the ones that maybe women went into an awful lot more years ago. And even those gender heavy careers that we still see now. What we're not seeing is the same thing happen to boys. So we have really, really rigid societal expectations of boys. You know, boys need to be a certain way and they need to have certain jobs. And we don't see that active encouragement of boys into roles like nursing and teaching and other caring professions, childcare. We don't see boys and young men encouraged into those roles. So society is still very much telling boys you should be a certain way. And with girls, we kind of embrace anything that girls enjoy doing, even if it was an activity or an interest that was traditionally associated with boys. We celebrate that. If you hear a slang word for it, you might hear them called a tomboy, but it's a kind of meant in a complimentary way. If you have a boy who has an interest in an activity or something that's maybe considered traditionally more female or wants to do a job that's considered more female, the only words for there are slurs. There's only insults used to boys in that way. So we haven't actually, I think society as a whole hasn't moved on and encouraged boys to be anything they want to be or told them that you can also be these other things outside of the box. I reckon that plays a bigger role now in influencing where girls and boys end up, because boys are still very much on a certain trajectory and they're still expected to be a very particular type of person.
Yeah. That pressure, though, on them to be a particular type of person, that mightn't be coming from the home. Would it be their peers more that they're getting that from?
It's coming from their peers. It's probably coming from social media. It certainly, I don't think, has helped if they're in single-sex schools. I don't think that does them any favours either, where you're surrounded by boys, you're surrounded by common, what should be considered or what is believed to be a common interest of boys. You have that kind of thing constantly perpetuated to them. And we don't hear clear messages in media either. We definitely aren't hearing it. We have got very much behind the campaign of supporting girls and young women into being anything that they want to be. I haven't seen a concerted effort to try and send that message out to boys either. And I think even as a mum of boys, because I came from a house of all girls, I don't think I was even aware of how rigid those expectations were or the sort of pressures that boys feel. I'm not sure that there is a group in society more vilified than teenage boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're kind of regarded as a threat.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, if you think about it yourself, and I say this as the mother of several teenage boys, and I know how head melting they can be. Like, I'm notwithstanding any of that fact, I get all that. But I know if you're walking down the road and you see a group of teenage boys, if you're a girl or a woman on your own in particular, but I've heard men say this, sometimes they can feel a bit inclined to cross the road or move to a different part of the area that they're in, just to avoid them, because we've got this message being sent to us that boys are a threat. If you even look at some of the different things that we encourage our teenage girls into, we're coming into the summer now and we'll see girls and teenage boys all looking for jobs, and it'll be suggested to girls, you know, babysitting is a brilliant one for you to get involved in if you're a girl. For lads, that's much harder because people are much more wary of teenage boys, both for sinister reasons and also for the fact that they kind of feel they're incapable too. But we do have such a negative view of teenage boys. They're hanging around, and teens hang around. They've hung around since the dawn of time. That we're always suspicious of that group of boys. And we're quite happy to make very flippant comment and flippant negative comment about boys and tolerate it in a way that we wouldn't tolerate these comments about girls. So we're doing wonderful things, and rightly so, around the messages that we're sending to girls. We're not getting there with boys yet. And that's on all of us. That's on media, it's on society, it's on schools, it's on adults, it's on all of us to try and change that messaging so that they they know they too can be anything they want to be, and that we don't always see them in such a negative way.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Plus, also, and well, all of them, when they get a bit older, when they become teenagers, like, you're kind of worried if he goes out, he's going to get stabbed. If she goes out, she's going to get pregnant. And that in itself kind of shows the kind of where our heads are at in terms of what we should be worrying about.
Absolutely. Really different worries for them. I remember, actually, when I was growing up, that was my mother's fear. Her biggest fear for all of us, that we'd get pregnant. You know, that was the thing that you were kind of worried about. And now maybe those worries have changed, and that you're afraid of your daughter being sexually assaulted or attacked. Whereas with the boys, it's those random attacks or being stabbed or being just being potentially hurt in a total random way and without any idea what's going on, or coming across a gang of boys, says she, having spoken about gangs of boys being perceived in such a negative way. But you're very worried in different ways. And I do see that with my daughter and my sons. I see even my older teenage sons being very aware of their sister. If she's walking somewhere, they'll walk with her. So they even see those different threats that are there for each other, but I'm not sure that they're as aware of the potential threat to them, you know, that I worry about. Like, I worry about them in completely different ways, totally different ways, but just as much.
Yeah. So having a sister, that I'm taking from that, it has made an impact on them, and that they've some insight as to what it's like for girls.
They have. Yeah, it definitely has made a difference. And particularly for the older boys, I think, because they were closer in age to her. For the younger boys, she plays a different role in their family. The gap is so significant between her and my younger boys that she's like just like an older sibling of just mine. And they don't perhaps think about it in the same way. But for the older boys, yeah, they're very aware of the different threats and the different ways that the world treats women and girls to boys. Mm. It has absolutely, like, it has had an impact on them in a way, I suppose. Again, turning it back to me, as a girl who grew up in a house with no brothers, I was never really aware of how boys might experience the world differently. I never really thought about it. You were growing up in an age where, you know, we were championing feminism and were very much aware that we didn't have equality. And that sounds like I grew up in the dark ages. This is the 80s and 90s. But, you know, we knew where we were going. Mm. We knew where we needed to be. And we recognised and saw different things that didn't happen for girls. And also some of the very same threats that existed then as exist now for girls and for women. But the boys, and my own boys, I definitely see that they're more in tune with the different experiences that girls have growing up than I was of the different experiences that boys had growing up, purely because my world revolved around my sisters and I was in an all-girls school, so that didn't help either.
Yeah. Do you think your boys, though, have any sense that they're limited in, you know, that there's perhaps more of a straitjacket on them as to what society expects them to be like?
I think when I talk to them now, especially when it's coming up the leaving cert or anything like that, and I'm suggesting different careers for them, or I'm talking to them about maybe something that I think might suit them, and what would they think of different things. Teaching is something that they're open to, but if you were to go near some of the other careers, it's never been suggested to them.
Mm.
So unless they hear it at home, it's never been suggested to them to look at some of the other caring professions. And I have, like, having 7 children, they have grown up in a house where there's been lots of people that their response, the older ones in particular, might have taken care of at different times, and they have a lot of experience, and some of them would have worked in summer camps and things over the years. And so being in those caring roles is something that they have a lot of experience of, but it's never been something that has been suggested to them in the wider scale. Like, it's never been, or in the wider scheme, it's never been suggested to them as, here's a potential career for you. They're still very much male roles. I think as they get older, and if they're hearing that kind of clear message at home, be anything you want to be, have whatever interest you want to have, that doesn't matter, and celebrating those different interests, even if they're not traditional male interests, that helps. But growing up, they were not hearing that outside the home, I don't believe.
Yeah. One of our listeners, though, does have, at the very least, a possible solution to the not peeing on target problem. apparently, if you put a wine cork in the toilet, the boys can't resist a target that way. So
okay. Oh, well, I have plenty of wine. that's very handy.
Didn't want to imply anything of the sort, Jen. Thanks a million as ever. That was Jen Hogan there, a journalist with the Irish Times. Another text that says, boys and girls do a 360. When toddlers, girls are nuts, but mellow out as they get older. Boys get wilder with age. Someone else says, I pity the poor lad that brings home the girl that brings home a lad with 6 brothers judging him. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Thank you for highlighting the way boys are treated. in relation to the rigid expectations from peers in society. Also, I found boys are treated more harshly and spoken to more harshly in primary school. If you raise children of different sexes the same way, you will confuse boys more than girls. Boys need male role models. Girls don't need female role models as much. I don't know where you're getting that from. Why don't they need them? Of course they need them, but one could say to that perhaps, and I mean in kind of, you know, as in celebrities and that kind of thing, young women probably have loads of role models in that sense of women who are singers or actors or whatever who are talking about the sort of things Jen was talking about you can do whatever you want. Not so much male ones. Male role models tend to be their footballers or their boxers or, you know, and they wouldn't really speak about the kinds of things that Jen is talking about. Someone else says, I think it's right that we teach boys and girls different things. The fact is boys and girls go through life experiencing different things. They need to know that life is going to differ. Not the difference between boys and girls, but how they wear you down. We had four kids, 10-year gap between the oldest and the youngest. Panic, panic, panic with the oldest. Go off and do what you want with the youngest. Yeah, there's a kind of an inevitable sense of that. We in Dublin had a name for boys that hung around. We called them corner boys. I think that term wasn't exclusive to Dublin with respect, but boys just do that. You still see them doing that. Your guest is so right. I have five sisters. And I feel I'm way better at speaking to women, understanding the female perspective, not weirded out by some discussions. Some of my friends that have no sisters can literally be so clueless. And Lisa says, I'm a mother of two teenage boys and a young teenage girl. I'm always worried the boys will get seriously physically assaulted. And I'm worried my daughter will get sexually assaulted. It seems so scary out there in a way I wasn't so afraid. Yeah, that is true.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.